This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
The Sports Bar with Danger and Battaglia. Mike Danger, Gene Battaglia. Rochester sports leader, 95.7 ESPN.
All right, back in the Sports Bar, Danger and Battaglia. Glad you're with us at AM 950, 95.7 FM, ESPN Rochester on the radio.com app, and from our radio.com sister station down the road in Buffalo at WGR, host of the Bills pre- and post-game on the Bills Radio Network, Nate Geary, good with his time and joining us on a Buffalo Bills Monday. With the Bills won again, Nate, yet it feels, once again, like less than satisfying. Why can't we get over and get excited about a team that's had their best start since 1993.
Speak for yourself, bro. I mean, I feel fine. I'm living fine. I mean, there are a lot of angry people, but I mean, it's hard to please everybody nowadays and with all the platforms that people can consume their data, their content, their statistics or what have you, and everyone can form these opinions. And it seems like this year, more than any year, is a little divisive on how people feel. And at the end of the day, it's a sport, it's football. I think a lot of times the Twitter can infatuate things a bit. I think at the end of the day that most people feel pretty good. I think a lot of people want to poke holes in it. And, you know, I don't think either side are wrong. I think it comes down to expectations. I talked about this in the postgame show yesterday, in the overtime show, is I think how you feel about 6-2 in this football team right now probably stems from your expectations of what the team would be going into the season. Myself, I thought that they should win 10 or 11 games just based on their schedule. But at the end of the day, I got to a point where I was like, they should win, but I know in years past that they should have won and done a lot of things, but they didn't. So my expectations weren't for this team to be 6-2 or already be in a situation where it looks like the playoffs are a lock. My expectations weren't there, I think I'm a little bit more, I think I could be a little bit more happy about this start because I wasn't necessarily expecting this team to be like a Super Bowl contender or something.
Nate, I'm sure you've heard this too. I mean, the Bills are winning ugly, to which I would say, So what? You're winning games here. It's all good. But are we now taking the Bills conversation on a bigger level? Because you win ugly, fine. You can pile your way to 10, 11 wins here by winning in this fashion. But can you win big in the NFL, meaning win playoff games with this sort of style of football the Bills are playing right now?
I would say how many playoff games is probably the question you got to ask. And I don't know. I don't think this team is actually good enough this season to maybe win more than one. I think winning two playoff games would be a lot for what I think the total overall health and talent of the roster is. Having said that, if the quarterback takes another significant step, and I mean, if you look at any stats of his yearly stats so far through eight games, what they project to over a 16-game season, he basically looks like he's on pace to have the Mitchell Trubisky year two. And Mitchell Trubisky was a field goal away. I mean, I will say that their defense was more talented. They have Khalil Mack, and they had some legitimate players in that defense. The Bills' defense isn't that, but, I mean, you looked at what Mitchell Trubisky-led team could do, and they were basically a field goal away from advancing out of the championship. So, and to the NFC championship. So I think if, like, the quarterback takes a step in the next eight games that maybe put him into more of a top 20 category, top 15 category, rather than outside, I think that it's very possible. And for me, it's all about just can you get hot going into the playoffs? That, to me, there are, teams that the hockey, the NFL, the NBA, that it's that team that gets hot or is feeling good over the last month of the season in December. And if they could go in with some confidence, maybe they, beat the vaunted Patriots at home or on the road. If that happens, maybe they go into the playoffs with more confidence than they would, and you'd be surprised what that could do for a team in the tournament. My whole thing is just get there. Anything can happen once you get there.
Nate, let's talk about the Buffalo Bills' run defense yesterday. We saw that first half gashing by Adrian Peterson and, of course, the adjustments at halftime. What changed? And man, how can the Bills prevent that from happening on Sunday when they're going to be facing a formidable duo of both Chubb and a revitalized Kareem Hunt in Cleveland?
Score before them. Score early. I was on the morning show this morning with Jeremy, and one of the things that we were talking about is a really great rush defense is a good, efficient offense. Teams can't run the football when they're down by two scores, when they're down in the fourth quarter. So, the 100 yards, and it's funny how we value rushing yards compared to passing yards, even though they're the same distance, same amount, right? Like what 100 rushing yards compared to 100 passing yards is, at the end of the day, are the same value, except you look at them two very differently. If somebody passes for 100 yards in a game, you're saying, anybody could do that. You could walk onto the field and throw for 100 yards. But when a running back runs for 100 yards, it's like, holy cow, what an achievement, And it's like this benchmark of success in the NFL. If you're a running back, you hit the 100-yard mark, you're a success, right? So it's funny how we view them, but the value of them are the same. So if the Bills can remain the third best pass defense in football, I think they're going to win a lot of games. I don't care that much about the running game. That's kind of my whole point about the struggles on offense is, they 2-1 ran the football to pass it this weekend. I didn't really prefer that, that ratio. So, the rush defense, sure, it's concerning, especially when you play a team like Baltimore who wins by running the football. But at the end of the day, I'm not all that concerned about the rush defense. I think it's good enough to get them where they need to be.
So you bring up the point about jumping out to the early lead with Josh Allen. When you look at this Browns secondary, is this a team that would provide some opportunities for the Bills passing offense for once?
They've got a second year corner and a rookie corner in Greedy Williams. And I believe it's Dennis Ward is one of those guys. They're, one's a first-round pick, one's a second-round pick, and Greedy Williams. They've got some good defensive backs, but it's a leaky, leaky defense right now. Brandon Allen. Listen, if Josh Allen can't have at least as good of a game as Brandon Allen did yesterday to beat Cleveland, then maybe they don't deserve it. And I think at the end of the day, their 2-6 record doesn't really indicate what that team is capable of being. Because I think we all know about the star power that is both on offense and defense. They've got one of the best young defensive ends in football. They've got some good pieces defensively. The offensive line is really where I think they're struggling the most. And that doesn't bode well for a guy like Jordan Phillips coming into town, who is leading the league in sacks on the interior of the defensive line in football, and that includes a unit that includes the name Aaron Donald. So just to kind of give you an idea of the success Jordan Phillips is having against opposing offensive line, you're talking about maybe the worst offensive line in football in Cleveland right now. And I definitely see this game being more difficult than what the record would indicate. And I mean, I think you look at what Vegas is right now favoring the home team Cleveland Browns by, I think, at least 2.5 points right now. So that should indicate where Vegas's head is on this one, but it'll definitely be a closer game. It'll be a close game either way. Every game they've played in this year has been close, so I wouldn't expect any different.
Yeah, Nate, I mean, I feel it's going to be a physical game. It's going to be a game that's one of the trenches. I'm curious to see the matchup of the Buffalo Bills offensive line against Myles Garrett. Cleveland, you could say there are a lot of things that aren't going well, but Garrett's still having a pretty good year. I believe he has 9 sacks so far in the young season, and young season, we're midway through the season, but Garrett's still a force. Is the Bills offensive line going to be able to contend with Myles Garrett? This is one of their biggest challenges all year.
100% biggest challenge that they'll probably face this year, and then the week after, 2 weeks after, I should say, they get to face Von Miller. So they're going to have some good prep over the next few weeks of some of the most the elite of the elite defensive ends and pass rushers in football. Myles Garrett leads the league, or was at least leading the league, or tied for the lead in sacks this season at the defensive end position and just overall defensively. And he's super impressive because he's big, but he's got bend, and he's fast, and he's athletic, and he's mean, and he gets to the quarterback pretty quickly. Having said that, I really have liked the Deion Dawkins game so far this year. And the other thing too that I think that you've been looking at what Brian Daboll's been doing in a lot of these situations is bringing in an extra guy to protect Josh Allen, is keeping a sixth guy and a tight end. And I've been really impressed with what Devin Singletary has been doing the last 2 weeks. when asked to be, you know, stay in and become a blocker instead of going out for a passing route. So I think they'll be in good shape. I think that the game plan offensively has to be to not let Myles Garrett run your game plan. And then if you can sort of mitigate the damage that he's going to do, because I don't think you can stop him from getting a sack or two in this game. It's just can you do it when it doesn't matter, and can you hope that you mitigate the damage and the effect that he can have on a game, because he can ruin an opposing offense's game plan. But if you can sort of stay away from him and game plan around him, it's a defense that is definitely it's got holes in it.
We're going to have a couple more of these matchups featuring the 2019 or the excuse me the draft class from a couple years ago here in 2019. Mayfield against Allen. Now, where we sit here, we're just kind of observing. What are your observations right now, Nate, when you see Baker Mayfield and the way he goes up to the podium, the way he's playing football? What do you think of Mayfield right now?
I see a guy that's struggling, and for the first time in his probable, definitely for the first time since college, he doesn't have the best offensive line in the country. And I mean, it was funny. I was just in the office and we were pulling up videos and watching Marquise Brown earlier, just because he's a stud, and we were watching some of his college film. And I kept going back and looking at the Kyler Murray and Baker Mayfield plays, where they were making throws downfield with nobody around the wide receiver, just running free. Marquise Brown, who runs a 4.3, was running away from 4.6 and 4.7 defensive backs in the Big 12, right? And Baker Mayfield's got 8 yards in front, to the side, and behind him to do whatever he wants in the pocket. And that's just not happening in the NFL in his first 2 years. Last year, they were better. And then they went out and traded their best offensive lineman to get Olivier Vernon to bookend to Myles Garrett. So, they've depleted their offensive line. The way that the roster is built is incredibly flawed. They remind me a lot of the 2015 Bills, where they're very they're top heavy. They've got some really nice blue chip players, especially at wide receiver. But man, you get past the top 10, top 11 players of this roster, and you're wondering, how many of these guys have starting jobs elsewhere in the league. That's just I think poor roster management by the Browns, and stop me if you've heard that before.
Yeah. Nate, yesterday we saw Trey White do something we don't see him normally do. He shadowed a receiver. He was on McLaren and didn't just stay exclusively on one side of the field. I'm curious if you think Trey will shadow Odell Beckham on Sunday and follow him wherever he goes. Has that been the MO for Trey, usually following the top receiver, or do we think we see Trey stay on his side of the field for the majority of the game on Sunday?
Yeah, I mean, I would guess that we see Tre'Davious White shadow Odell Beckham Jr. That would be my guess. Obviously, I think you feel pretty good about the likes of Kevin Johnson and Kevin Johnson. Why am I drawing a blank?
Levi Wallace.
Yeah. Levi Wallace. And I think you're going to see a lot of Jarvis Landry in the slot, which means Taron Johnson is another guy that I think is going to spend a lot of the majority of the game over Jarvis Landry. But in terms of, which I'm fine with, because I think Taron Johnson's a fine slot cover corner, so I'm good with that. And honestly, I would wonder, do you need to put Tre'Davious White all over Odell Beckham Jr.? They're clearly having some issues with that Baker Mayfield and OBJ connection, and I wonder if it's worth your time, because they haven't really been able to find even when he's open. So, do you want to waste your best defender going over a player that has been mostly up to this point this year, been ineffective? So it'll be interesting how they end up doing it. I still think they respect at any point Odell Beckham Jr. could, blow up for 200 yards receiving. And I think that's always going to be in the back of Leslie Frazier and Sean McDermott's, head on that. But I wouldn't be surprised if you see him maybe stick to one side. I also wouldn't be surprised if they end up shadowing. It'll really be game plan dependent and kind of how they decide that they want to, defend this offense, which, for the most part has not been good. The offense has been their weak link, which is not what people thought. Baker Mayfield has definitely taken that regression step backwards. I mean, so has Sam Darnold. I think really everybody in the class other than Josh Allen and Lamar Jackson, which, by the way, you want to go back to 2018, you're not going to find too many people who had that, that playing out. I'll tell you that much.
It's a good wide receiver in the NFL. I mean, really should check that out.
Yeah, Booger McFarland, a lot of his tweets started to resurface today, you hate to see it.
Oh, geez. Nate Geary joining us here. As you'll hear Nate, the pregame show, Bills and Browns, beginning at 9 a.m., WGR's Nate Geary, our guest. Here the Bills are. The Patriots lost last night, Nate, as I'm sure you're aware, and the Bills are just one game back in the loss column. can we have a realistic conversation about the division or no?
I don't know. When you look at, let's talk about this game in particular, right, with the Browns. And I look at it from the standpoint of.
Oh, we lost Nate. Oh, man. It was a tough question. You asked him about the division. No one answered. All right, Gino's going to try and get Nate back on the line with us here on ESPN Rochester so we can finish up our conversation with Nate here and remember where we left off there. We left off with wondering whether or not the Bills can contend. Gene, if you were going to ask me that question, my thing would be yes, absolutely yes, they should be in contention for the division. It's you're one game behind, exactly right. You could have nine wins by the time Thanksgiving comes up here against Dallas if you handle your business against three inferior opponents. And, you know, it's not like New England's schedule is necessarily getting easy. You could definitely see an opportunity here where that Week 16 matchup against the Patriots has some weight to it. Nate, sorry, you were in the middle of something. We got cut off. Are the Bills can you consider the Bills a contender for the division at this point in the season?
Well, like I was mentioning, if you just look at this week, like, yeah, I mean, but they've got to take care of business in the AFC, and it starts with this Cleveland game. And for me, like, the Cleveland game is one of those ones you should win. And I saw Marcel Louis-Jacques of ESPN, the Bills beat reporter, saying it's a must-win game. I kind of agree. And the reason being is the week after that, you've got the Dolphins. The week after that, you've got Denver. You could end up at 9-2. You're at 9-2. Man, you know, things are getting serious at that point. And with what the Patriots' schedule looks like over the next few weeks, it wouldn't shock me if the Bills are a game up on the New England Patriots when they meet New England. That wouldn't be that shocking to me because of how weak the Bills' schedule is and how difficult the Patriots is kind of over the next few weeks. So the Bills take care of business. They'll be in a really good position. They're totally in the race for the division, and that's weird to say 8 weeks in, 9 weeks in.
So here the Bills are then at 6-2, Cleveland at 2-6. What am I missing here if the Bills are an underdog? I know they're on the road, Nate, but what am I missing here? Does that line strike you as odd that the Bills are actually an underdog this week?
No, not really. I think most people still look at them as a paper tiger. I think you know, when you talk about the Bills, I think the two games that stick out in your mind are the New England Patriots game, which we know they stayed close to them defensively, but the offense just couldn't do a damn thing. And then the Philadelphia Eagles game. Those are the two games that if you're a national media member or somebody that's talking about the team, those are the games that, in my opinion, are going to stick out. So, you know, at the end of the day, it's hard to gain respect when you haven't beaten anybody and unless you're the Patriots. Right, and the Patriots have a long storied history of six Super Bowls. They've earned the right to be thought of as for real, having played no one. The Bills haven't really earned that right, so I think that's where we sit with Vegas. You know, giving this to the Browns at home, and I mean they're at home. I don't love it. It doesn't surprise me. I would probably take it, and I think I'm probably going to pick the Bills. By the way, I'm 8-0 on my pregame pick.
Get you.
So I think I might be picking Bills this week, which probably means you could put it in stone.
You know, Nate, if you don't mind sharing some of that wisdom with my co-host over here, who just embarrassed us. We had a chance to get on national radio. He was on the Golic and Wingo Survivor Challenge, and his pick was Green Bay.
You baited me into that.
I did no such
you
thing.
You did.
Listen, our guest, Nate, is 8-0, Gene. Why don't we have him on more often than making these predictions? Than you know, you or Master Stroke or anybody else here that's just embarrassing us. It's just embarrassing.
That's tough, but like that game, like if I was in a survivor pool, that is not a game I would have looked at and been like, that I would have felt bad about.
No,
like,
of course not.
Everyone is basically coining the Green Bay Packers as just as good as the Saints. Everyone has all but buried the Chargers. They're in the Chargers Stadium, which is, you know, 3/4. You know, Packers fans, that's a totally fine game to pick. That's a tough one. Like, you know, I don't know that you could probably pick a better game considering how good the Packers have looked the last few years.
That's a guy who's 8-0 telling you that you didn't do anything wrong.
Nate, here's what I learned from this whole experience is that I woke up in the morning and I said, Philadelphia's the pick. And Mr. Bears fan over there gave me Mr. Pouty face. And I'm like, ah. It's like, you know, go with Green Bay. Go. And I'm like, ah, all right, for fun, I'll go with Green Bay. You betting and emotion are opposites. There should be no emotion at all.
That's right. And the worst part about that, and I'm sure that you put your eyes across at the one during the 1 o'clock games, the Mitchell Trubisky 9 yards in the first half, and you're thinking to yourself, I've made a grave mistake.
Yeah. No, it was ugly. Nate, appreciate your time. As always, look forward to the call on Sunday morning with pregame starting at 9 o'clock and, of course, the postgame show after the game. And hopefully it's another victory for the Buffalo Bills in Cleveland.
I'm sure hoping so, guys. I appreciate, as always, having me on, and love my people down in the Rock. So, absolutely. And, I'm happy to come on whenever. So you guys just let me know.
Thanks, Nate. Appreciate you. Look forward to it again on Sunday morning, 9 a.m. Pregame starts. The Bills in Cleveland to take on the Browns. Nate Geary, our radio.com sister station, WGR, and the Buffalo Bills Radio Network, our guest in the Sports Bar.
This is worse than the Kansas City pick a few years ago. I just want to let you know how bad I feel for letting our community down.
Golic and Wingo, Survivor Pool, featured guest picker.
Hey guys, it's Gene Battaglia of the Sports Bar 95.7 ESPN, Rochester, New York. Thank you for the invite. Our selection is going to be a masterstroke of a pick. Green Bay at the Chargers. Aaron Rodgers playing great football right now. Yes, it's away from Lambeau, but let's be honest, can you really ever call it a road game when you face the Chargers in L.A.? Take the Packers and advance to next week.
I said it was a masterstroke.
That's what happened, yep.
So I did that to myself. Yeah, of course it's a masterstroke of a pick because you're wrong.
We knew this would happen. We knew it would happen. All right.
Not going to be invited back.
NFL appetizers on the way next. We serve up today's top NFL stories in bite-sized form. It's brought to you exclusively by Alex's Place. Alex's Place, making mouth-watering barbecue baby back ribs for over 25 years. Online at alexsribs.com.
So that Colt, you know, one of the teams the Bills are in the mix with, the Colts, Jacoby Brissett. We'll let you know what we know at this point about the knee injury he suffered where he could not go in that loss to the Steelers. We've got news for the Titans. We've got an Adam Thielen update. The Browns certainly making news today, and also more news and notes, Giants and Cowboys tonight. A lot to get to here in Apps.
All right, stand by. NFL appetizers next. Danger and Battaglia, you're in the Sports Bar. Danger and Battaglia on ESPN Rochester.
Push your bandwidth to the limit with ESPNRochester.com. Stream the sports leader on your computer. Read the latest rumblings from the Bills and rumors from the Sabres. Breaking news, expert analysis and opinion, we've got you covered. Plus, on-demand audio and all of the best moments from the Sports Bar with Danger and Battaglia. Bookmark ESPNRochester.com, the online home of AM 950 and 95.7 FM. The Sports Leader, ESPN Rochester.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.